Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pacharani Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschachate Shatarani. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 22nd Chapter, Text 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na mai aveshita dihaṁ kamaha kamaya kalpate varajita kvatita dhanaha prayo vijaya Neshate Namaya Veshita Diha Kama Kamaya Kalpate Varjita Kvatita Donaha Prayo Vijaya Neshate Namaya Veshita Diham Kama Kamaya Kalpate Bhajita Kvat Hitadana Prayo Vijaya Neshate Namaya Veshita Diham Kama kamaya kalpate Varjitakva tithadana Prayo bijaya nishyate. Okay. Not Mai in me. Aveshita fully absorbed. Dhyam of those whose consciousness. Kamaha desire. Kamaya to material lust. Kalpate leads. Varjitaha burned. Vatthitaha cooked. Danaha grains. Prayaha for the most part. Vijaya new growth. Nahishate are not capable of causing. Translation, the desire of those who fix their minds on me does not lead to material desire for sense gratification, just as barley corns burned by the sun and then cooked can no longer grow into new sprouts. So you shouldn't like sprouts. So you can repeat, the desire of those who fix their minds on me does not lead to material desire for sense gratification. Just as barley corns burned by the sun and then cooked can no longer grow into new sprouts. So purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada, the words Maya Veshita the Om are very significant here. Unless one has achieved an advanced degree of devotion, one cannot fix the mind and intelligence on Krishna, since Krishna is pure spiritual existence. Self-realization is a state not of desirelessness, but rather a purified desire wherein one desires only the pleasure of Lord Krishna. The gopis were certainly attracted to Krishna in the mood of conjugal love, and yet, having fixed their minds and indeed their entire existence completely on Krishna, their conjugal desire could never manifest as material lust. Rather, it became the most exalted form of love of Godhead ever seen within the universe. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur comments, if someone worships me impurely or improperly because I am full of good qualities, I can make that offering pure. What then to say of your absolutely pure desire and pure love? For those who are absorbed in me, their material desires do not result in sense enjoyment. Because of the greatness of the object of love, it results in the disappearance of material desire, just as barley corns, if roasted in the hot sun, are sown and moistened by water. It is impossible, naishite, for them to sprout, bijaya. Praya here means just as. Another reading of neshite is neshite. No, of nesite is neshite. According to Shukta, this is a traditional usage. And the other commentators say pretty much the same thing. So, whoops. Actually, I want to go back to the verse. Let's go back to the verse. Naya veshita diham kamakamaya kalpate Barjita kvatita danaha prayo bijaya neshate. So, omagana timirandasha garanjana shilakaya chakshur unmiditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, this verse gives us great hope. This is not going to be another class with Raghunuga or Rasika stuff. Sorry about that. This verse gives me great hope, and it gives all of us great hope, because it's an expression of what Prabhupada had talked about quite often, which is that if one takes the Krishna consciousness, and of course the Acharyas talk about this often too, it's like frying a seed. The seed can't fructify anymore. This is a typical example given in Nectar Devotion, given by Srila Prabhupada many times, and it's specifically mentioned in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami the question, you know, how can one overcome sin and the reactions to sin? And Shukadeva Goswami, in order to test his disciple, Maharaj Parikshit, gives him a bogus answer. Sometimes the spiritual master will give a bogus answer to the disciple to see if the disciple actually understands things. And so the bogus answer he gave him was that one can overcome all these things by what? Prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means like atonement. Like in the religion that I was brought up in, you got one day a year to atone. And it's better than Catholicism, where you atone once a week. You know, it's easier, isn't it? Just one day a year. Of course, what happens if you sin in between the atonement? So actually Catholicism is better, because at least you're absolved every week rather than once a year, isn't it? So you can look at it both ways. So anyway, so that was the answer, atonement, prayaschitta. And Pariksit Maharaj said, you know, it's not going to work like that, because just like Kunja Sotra, like an elephant who goes bathing, throws dirt on himself again. And then ultimately, the point was that the only thing that'll free one from sinful reactions is frying the seed by the process of devotional service. So that gives us great hope. So what do I mean by great hope? Well, let me make reference to a verse in the Bhagavatam. Akama, Sarvakama, Mokshakama, Dharati, Tivrena Bhakti Yogeni Yajeta Purusham Param. It gives us great hope because this verse states that whether you're full of material desire, you know, free of material desires, full of material desires, or even desirous of liberation, or have no material desires, then Mokshakama Udharati, then you should worship Krishna enthusiasts, Divrena Bhakti Yogeni Yajeta Purusham Param. And so you really don't really have to start to feel guilty. So that's the point. So it's like sometimes devotees, disciples ask me a question that I have this desire to go skiing or whatever. I love the snow or something. What is the snow? It's frozen water. I mean, if you analyze snow, you know, really? It's frozen water. Just like people, I had one disciple who had the desire to go to Alaska and to see the big ice cubes there. I said, no, you just take a piece of a glass of water and put some ice cubes in it and look real closely. It's the same thing. It's no difference. So anyway, so we have all these desires. And, you know, should we be thinking this is bad, or actually even further than that, I am bad for having these desires, right? I think it's bad. We get into this bad. I am bad. This is a bad desire I have. And, you know, sometimes hearing about Krishna consciousness, it just like, you know, and some classes Prabhupada is really, really heavy about any material desires. Like Prabhupada talks about, you know, in some classes he talks about household life in such a heavy, heavy way. And other times, you know, talks differently. It's interesting with Prabhupada. You know, sometimes he really slams any sort of material desire or anything other than just pleasing Krishna. And other times, Prabhupada's really lenient. Like when he's talking about bringing people to Krishna consciousness, he sometimes says that we tell people, you join the Krishna consciousness movement and we'll find you a nice wife. And other times, he's really slamming it. It's really interesting. So sometimes we take the slamming business and it makes us feel really guilty, you know. Oh, my God. I want a Tesla. Oh, my God. I'm in Maya. I'm horrible. I'm terrible. My life is finished. I'm full of lust. Of course, that's an impetus. Like, please take this sin. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, please take this sinner who wants a Tesla weeping and weeping to your lotus feet. So... So, you know, it is an impetus for praying to Krishna, but, you know, too much of this, like, I'm bad, I'm full of lust, it's hopeless, this is a bad desire, you know, like that. I mean, obviously, to eat meat or something that's bad. You know, I saw one video the other day where was a girl talking. She said, I used to be a vegan, and my body was telling me, you got to eat meat. And then I ate meat and I felt so much better. Yuck. That's bad. You know, but the only way I can speak more in the mic is if I put it in my mouth at this point. Someone could turn up the volume in there. I mean, on the internet, on my thing, they can hear me, but it's just... I think they can hear me. Yeah, mine is on. If you can turn up just the main volume. Not here. No. The main volume. the main volume. I mean, I don't want it any closer to my mouth. Otherwise, you know, because I do move and I could lose my teeth. And this is the only set I have right now. So anyway, so the point is not to feel guilty, but even to use those desires to try to get yourself to be more enthusiastic about Krishna. Like if you see snow, you think, oh, this is Krishna's energy. I mean, that's one thing you can do. Or you can think how much fun Krishna has in the spiritual world. There's snow there too, but it's not cold. It's not just frozen water and you got to dress up real warmly. Anyway, so I mean, there's ways to transform that. But the main thing we should understand is that whatever reason you have for coming in contact with Krishna, you know, whatever else is happening, you know, it's all like static at the same time. You'll get purified as long as you stick to Krishna consciousness. And whatever reason one comes to Krishna consciousness, I mean, and I'm going to tell stories about this because obviously it's leading to stories, which I like to tell, and not about the gopis. So whatever reason one comes to Krishna consciousness and is focused in Krishna consciousness, one will get purified. And here's one interesting story told by Prabhupada. Once upon a time, there was a thief, and he just wanted to make money. Prabhupada told the story. Someone asked, where do you get the story from? It's from Prabhupada. Because people sometimes on the internet, where did you get that story from? Prabhupada told it. So I'm giving references for each story so people can't get real upset about it, which they have a habit of doing. So, and you can look it up in the Veda base if you like. So once upon a time, there was a thief who was attending Bhagavatam class. And he was listening to the Bhagavatam class and he was hearing Krishna's pastimes. But what he was actually hearing was not about the beauty of Krishna, but the decorations that Krishna had on his body. You understand? The jewelry. He heard, there is this beautiful boy in Vrindavan, and he has so much jewelry on his body, you know, his earrings and, I don't know, nose rings, but, you know, crown, ankle bells, and it's all diamonds. Just like I was reading yesterday about the Koh-i-Noor diamond. You know the Koh-i-Noor diamond? That was the jewel on the British crown. It was stolen from India. It had a curse to it. Anyway, you can look it up today if you're interested in it. So anyway, so he was hearing about Krishna's jewels. And he was thinking, I got to find that guy. So his enthusiasm grew more in eagerness, you know, utsahan, lolium, his greed. But it wasn't actually to be Krishna conscious, but it was connected to Krishna. So his greed grew. Oh, I gotta find that boy, So he just like enthusiastically walks all the way to Vrindavan and he's looking for Krishna. Finally, he finds Krishna and he sees the jewels and he says, boy, give me your jewels. You have so many jewels at home. And Krishna says, my mother's going to be very angry with me. I can't do it. So Krishna's refusing. The guy is asking again and again and again and again. And Krishna just, and this is increasing the guy's lust and desire for jewels. But it's connected to Krishna, which is really cool. So after a few exchanges like that, or quite a few exchanges, he becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Wow. And that's a wonderful broad story, which Prabhupada told. And so here's another broad story. This is a Govardhan story. It shows just coming in contact with Krishna. For whatever reason, you actually get purified. Once upon a time, there was a Brahmin. And this Brahmin He wanted to go to Mathura to perform Pindah for his ancestors. Pindah means, you know, just the sacrifice to save your ancestors from hell. That's why a son is called a putra, a daughter is called putri. So he goes to Mathura, does this, and then on the way out, he stops at Govardhan. Pretty cool. And he thinks, well, I should get a Govardhan Shila. So this is a story. There's a reference. I'm giving the reference for every story. This is from the Garga Sanghita. And this story was told by Narada Muni. Okay. And so Narada Muni, he tells a story to show about Govardhan. So anyway, so this devotee, he takes the Govardhan Shila and he puts it in his pocket. So he steps out of Mathura, the Mathura district. And then what happens is this big Rakshasa, I think he had like 10 heads and 20 arms or something, I forget. And his tongue was as long as my arm is. And he starts to attack this Brahmin. Prasadam, Sarira, Vijaya. You know, he starts to attack the Brahmin. And the Brahmin doesn't know what to do. You know, he's a Brahmin. He doesn't carry a bow and arrow or any weapons or anything like that. So what does the Brahmin do? He says, well, the only thing I have in my hand is this Govardhan Shila. So he throws it. You know, to protect yourself, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So he throws it at this big Rakshasa guy. And immediately the Rakshasa guy turns into four hands, you know, Vaikuntha, because it wasn't in Vrindavan, so he didn't become a gopi. So he attains Swarup City. Swarup City means you take the same form as the Lord. And so in this, in the Garga Sanghita, there's a whole description after this, how if one performs this ceremony at Govardhan or holds a Govardhan Shila, I mean, this is like an elaborate description, which I don't remember all the details. It's more valuable than unlimited Ashwamedha sacrifices, more valuable than this, more valuable than that. One goes back to Godhead. I mean, it's, wow. And this Brahmana was just trying to protect himself, and the Rakshasa just got hit by the Govardhan Shila. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? No, not that I'm going to start throwing my Govardhan Shilas at devotees to bless them. It's not. Just like you have that story of Abhiram Thakur with his Jaimango, his whip. He would whip people. He went one time, he was whipping Srinivasacharya, and his wife, that's Abhiram Thakur's wife, stopped him. Don't hit him anymore. He'll become more ecstatic. Stop already. Stop hitting him. So anyway, so that's another story that proves the point. Actually, the Vedic literatures are full of stories like this. Another story from Chaitanya Mangal, interesting story, was another story about a thief. And this thief actually had a whole band of thieves. What does that mean, a whole band? Like a group of thieves. It's a dacoit, actually. And he was looking to steal. So one day he saw that there was this great devotee of the Lord who was like 7 or 8 feet tall. His name was Lord Nityananda. And he had jewelry all over his body. I mean, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not wear jewelry, at least after he took sannyas. We're talking about Lord Chaitanya's sannyas in the evening class, how Lord Chaitanya apparently took sannyas in the Shankara Sampradaya, Bharti Sampradaya of the Shankara Sampradaya, but actually didn't, because he initiated his sannyas guru before his sannyas guru initiated him. You know, he whispered the mantra. He said to his sannyas guru, is this the mantra you're going to give me? And the sannyas guru got initiated. And then the sannyas guru, Keshava Bharti, gave him gave him the same mantra that he had heard from Lord Chaitanya. So really, Lord Chaitanya was not a member of the Shankara Sampradaya, but apparently, externally, it appeared that he was. So he could be respected, because that was the respected sannyas sampradaya in that part of India at that time, although there was Vaishnava sannyas in other places, such as in South India. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya did not wear jewelry. He was a perfect sannyasi. Vairagya Vijaya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartha Eka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dari Kripam Budhiya Yastvam Aham Prabhatiye. But Lord Nityananda, he was decked out. And so this thief saw Lord Nityananda. You know, for the wrong reason he was attracted to Lord Nityananda. Completely wrong reason. So the reason I'm telling these stories is so you don't feel real guilty. You know, if some desire, other desires in your heart, you know. So he's attracted to the wrong reason. Just like Krishna says in the Gita, Chaturvidha Bhajanti Mam. People come to him for various reasons. People come because they want wealth. Some people in the early days of the movement came just because they had to wind down after an LSD trip. You know, they woke up in the temple that morning. So, where am I? Hare Krishna, time for Mangal Arati. Oh, what is Mangal Arati? Am I still high? Yes, you're really high. This is really high. Chaturvidha Bhajanti Mam. Generally, people come because they want wealth, they're inquisitive, or they're looking for knowledge, or they're in distress. And in Kali Yuga, they come up with more reasons because they're coming down after an LSD trip. Anyway, so you know, that's the reason I'm telling you the story. So anyway, so here's let's get back to the story. So here's this thief. And he's looking at Lord Nityananda. Wow. I gotta have the money. So he gets together with his band of thieves and they're discussing, we're gonna really steal tonight because they're having this kirtan, wait till the kirtan's over. And they're talking to each other, talking about Lord Nityananda and the jewelry. So it's not that they're just contemplating the jewelry, they're contemplating this is the way he looks like, you know, like that. So they're contemplating that, and then while they're contemplating that, they just fall asleep. You know, they go. You know, they're really enthusiastic. So here we're talking about utsahan, you know, like eagerness. That's the real point. That's the price for pure devotional service. Even if one's eager for the wrong reason, if one comes, as long as one doesn't commit offenses. I just put that caveat right there. As long as one is eager, it doesn't matter because you like to dance. You come to Christian concerts, that's good. Doesn't matter. And Prabhupada was like, if you look at people dancing the early days of the movement, isn't it? In 26 Second Avenue, it was wild. You know, everybody had a different style. You can imagine like 25 people in this temple room, everyone dancing differently? Pretty cool. So, because most people here don't dance. Anyway, so apart from that, So they fell asleep. And so they were thought, we fell asleep. So let's do it tomorrow night. So the next night they're planning it all out. They come out at the right time to steal the jewels. And they look outside of the house and there's these like 20, you know, 10-foot tall Vaikuntha guards who are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They said, this is not the right night. So we have to let us worship the goddess Chandi. So this is very similar to the Kachiyani Vrat. So they worship the Kachiyani, different form, goddess Chandi. And they're just thinking, all right, we got to do it. We got to do it. And so they wait a few days or weeks or whatever. And then they think the guards must be gone by now. So they come out. But this time they've been meditating on Lord Nityananda for a long period of time with great eagerness. So they come out, and then all of a sudden, the sky turns black, and basically it's described, there's almost like pus coming from the sky, and, you know, and anyway, they fall into the ditches, they're bitten by the alligators, or no alligators, crocodiles, and the worms are biting them, and they're blinded, they can't see. somehow or other they can't see. Then they come to the realization, boys, we've done the wrong thing. And then in their minds, the head guy surrenders to Lord Nityananda. And then he is able to see, and they become great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simply because they were meditating on the Lord for the wrong reason. You know, I'm not suggesting that. So, I mean, I can go through one story after another. And let's see, one more story actually is interesting. I'm not going to tell the Dhruva Maharaj story because that, what? Yeah, the prostitute that came to Haridas Thakur. There's Sarpanaka. You know, so anyway, so let me give some application because my grandmother always says I have to give an application at the end of the class. So what does that mean as far as we're concerned? I mean, first of all, in the beginning of class, I talked about we shouldn't be ashamed. You know, that's life. We came to the Krishna consciousness because we have all these desires. So what, you know, live and let live. But it also means that we, when we're going out to expand, I don't want to use the word preach, to share Krishna consciousness, we should understand the principle of Vijñāta Sukriti, which is a really important principle. And you know, for me, it's really important. What does Vijñāta Sukriti mean? Someone's doing devotional service without knowing it. Someone's hearing the holy names without knowing they're hearing the holy names. This is like, you know, Harinam. They don't know. I mean, they don't have a faith. You don't hand out a piece of paper with an elaborate philosophical explanation to everybody. And then you start chanting. Like the example, as I heard Prabhupada on the radio. And then also, you know, prasadam distribution. However, there's a caveat to this whole thing. It depends on the purity. Krishna Shakti Vinana He Tari Pravartana Kali Kalera Dhamma Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vinana He Tari Pravartana. It depends on the potency. Just like one time, my hearing from Prabhupada changed my whole life. So let's talk about prasadam, for example. It's not that just because we're Hare Krishna devotees and we cook vegetarian food that the prasadam is potent. Krishna, you know, we do have Krishna's statement in the Gita, what patram pushpam twalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. Things have to be offered with love and devotion. So it's not that, you know, you just like to distribute prasadam, you put something on the altar and say om tat sat, thanks a lot, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, whatever. Or you say your mantra without attention. That's called niyamagraha. You know, you do something niyamagraha ritualistically, then whether Krishna accepts or not, you know, I can't say. But it's certainly not going to have the potency. Or if you're personally sharing or the holy name, you know, talking about Harinam, or preaching Krishna consciousness, if you yourself are not Krishna conscious, it's not going to act, or it's not going to act as much as it could have acted. So that's really the point. I mean, these thieves, they were meditating on Lord Nityananda. I mean, there's no question of Lord Nityananda's spiritual position. Balaram Hoylanatai. He's Balaram. And there's no question of the Govardhan Shila, you know, being thrown. It's Krishna, don't throw it, or I'll kill you. So there's no question about, you know, Krishna wearing jewels not being pure. But there is a question about us not being pure. So when we're talking about prasadam distribution, not that you just hire a cook, because it has to be cooked with the right consciousness. It has to be offered with the right consciousness. Then it is actually potent. And there might even be degrees of potency. It's not just like, binary, you know, oh, this is prasadam, this is not prasadam. Krishna accepted this. No, because I know when you would eat, take some prasadam that was offered to, that cooked by Srila Prabhupada, offered by Prabhupada, that was like, boom, like an atom bomb. And some people, you know, maybe like a firecracker. And other people, it may be like a dud. I don't know if you know what a dud is. Anyway, so it's a question of our own purity. Pure, like Prabhupada, one of the things Prabhupada said was purity is the force. It's a really interesting statement. Of course, books are the basis, utility is the principle. Like that, preaching is the essence. But purity is the force. And if you have that, then when you give people prasadam, even if the prasadam is just an apple, like Prabhupada, what he would do sometimes in his early days, what would he do? Cut an apple up, because there wasn't any other, you know, money or anything like that to buy or cooks to make other prasadam. He'd cut an apple and give people little pieces of the apple. Or when I went to see Prabhupada, he would give people like these sugar, crystallized sugar things. But the point is, it was potent. It's not a question of like, you know, of course you should cook nicely, but it's not. But the real point is the potency of one's own devotional service. And then we can save the whole world by this, by the principle of Agyata Sukriti. I mean, obviously, ultimately, yes, we want people to read the books. But Prabhupada said, even if someone puts the book on his shelf and respects the book, then he's making spiritual advancement. If someone hears the holy name in Harinam, one eats prasadam. Anyway, so that's the way we spread Krishna consciousness. And don't worry about your own material desires, because if you actually preach Krishna consciousness, they will disappear very quickly. Okay, on that happy note. Yeah, he taught everybody this one mistake. But, you know.
In the beginning?
Yeah, and then when they learned about it, they started dancing, they communicated, and we got all out of the book.
Shayla.